To prevent this problem, used air conditioners need to be disposed of or recycled properly by professionals. Some cities, like Boston, allow residents to schedule an appointment with the city to haul away a used unit. And elsewhere, you can often contact local utilities or junkyards that know how to handle HFCs. Some of these programs even offer rewards or rebates in exchange for turning in an AC unit. Governments around the world have agreed to phase out HFCs over the next few decades. But if you need to buy a new air conditioner soon, look for one with a less potent HFC known as R32. That way you can stay cool and help keep the planet cool too. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
This is Reverend Billy at Earth Riot Radio. I'm a part of the Church of Stop Shopping in New York City. Anti-consumerist singers, radicals who trespass. And as we go into that lobby of that JP Morgan Chase or that Walmart or whatever, we're invading while we're singing songs and handing out information about the crimes of that company. That's what we do in a nutshell. Well, we're getting down to it now. It's the Earth versus the United States of America. It's Donald Trump's fracking executive running the Environmental Protection Agency versus the endangered species that will rise up. Certainly, we will see and hear some endangered animals rising up in the course of the next half hour. Because they are our fellow warriors. They are in this struggle. They are life making life, which is the definition of the sixth extinction. Life rising up to save life. So let's work for the ecosystems. Let's work for those forests and alpine meadows and wetlands and coral reefs. Let's get to work now. Let's sing it. Let's sing it with the earth. A kind of rough, exalted duet. Somebody help me now. Help me now. Earth, hallelujah.
Defeats it, converts it, applies love to it. A superstorm of love. Now here in the city, we have a conspiracy against us. Pavement and glass and rat shit and concrete. And we're supposed to have different kinds of cultures assigned to us from various sources. various corporate sources and various ideas of history and greatness and everything. And we're supposed to be slowly but surely distanced from the earth. No.
Don't do it.
No. We need the earth.
Yeah.
And I know the last weeks, the last hours, the last minutes, you in this city, you have met the earth.
All right.
It might have been light off a pane of glass. It might have been a seagull above. It might have been a feeling of mood. It might have been a new feeling in your body. Desire, perhaps.
All right.
Earth. The earth is rising all around us. Go back right now and just have a memory of when the earth came into you, came right up to you, came through you. You might have been with somebody else. You might have been alone.
Yeah.
No limit to this story. No limit to this story form, constantly changing. Settle on a memory now. Now share that memory, your earth story, with the person sitting or standing next to you, and then let that person do the same back to you and listen hard. Earthalluia. Go ahead.
Beat up the
I am not the only one. 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 I am making you see. I am not the only one. I am making you feel. I am not the only one.
I'm shaking. Moving the crowd. I'm shaking.
World, I'm Savitri D. A study released in Science determines that just 4 policies can reduce mismanaged plastic waste by 91% and plastic-related greenhouse gases by 1/3. The policies are 1. Mandate new products be made with 40% post-consumer recycled plastic. 2. Cap new plastic production at 2020 levels. 3. Invest significantly in plastic waste management, such as landfills and waste collection services. And 4. Implement a small fee on plastic packaging. This policy package also delivers climate benefits, reducing emissions equivalent to taking 300 million gasoline-powered vehicles off the road for 1 year. Analysis shows record numbers of business representatives and lobbyists had access to the UN's latest biodiversity talks in Colombia. In total, 1,261 business and industry delegates registered for COP16, which ended in disarray and without significant progress on a number of key issues, including nature funding, monitoring biodiversity loss, and work on reducing environmentally harmful business subsidies. The number is more than double the 613 present at the UN's previous biodiversity conference in 2022. Wildfires continue to ravage parts of New York and New Jersey, fueled by high winds and record low precipitation. And despite some rain over last weekend, there is no immediate relief in sight for the historic drought in the region. Last month was the driest on record in New York City, with only 0.87 inches of rain, compared with the historic average of 4.12 inches for October. The state of New York is currently under a burn ban and a drought watch, meaning that residents and businesses are encouraged to reduce their water usage. The total water usage by over 8 million New Yorkers amounts to about a billion gallons a day. The last time New York City experienced a drought was over 20 years ago, lasting from 2001 to 2003, with the city's water storage dropping below 42% during the worst of it. As of Thursday, the city's water reservoir levels were sitting at around 62%, compared with typical 79%. Armed gunmen attacked and looted around 100 trucks carrying desperately needed supplies for Palestinians in Gaza. It was the biggest such attack during 13 months of violence in the territory. The convoy, which was transporting thousands of tons of food provided by UN agencies UNRWA and the World Food Program, was attacked shortly after entering Gaza. 98 trucks of the 109-truck convoy were looted, and some transporters were injured during the incident. New Delhi and the surrounding metropolitan area, home to about 55 million people, had the world's worst air pollution this week. The reading on the index rose to over 1,600 parts per million. Anything above 301 on that index is considered hazardous. The EPA essentially considers anything beyond 500 to be off the charts. Essentially, all of North India has been plunged into a medical emergency. The same pollution has enveloped parts of Pakistan, where the authorities have banned most outdoor events, canceled most classes, and told some workers to stay home. A combination of agricultural field fires and falling temperatures are to blame. As the planet warms and rain patterns shift, the feathers and skin of many species are changing colors, often getting lighter. Snails in the Netherlands are going from brown to yellow. In a species of tropical bee in Costa Rica, the proportion of orange to blue is increasing. Lizards in France are turning lighter, and so are many insects and birds across the globe. Melanins, the most common pigment in birds and mammals, may be affected by rising temperatures and changing rain patterns. Overall, shifts in animal coloration are expected to be subtle. Species will remain recognizable, but from a biological perspective, even a small difference may impact a species' survival. The sun is 99.9992% spherical. It is the roundest, most perfectly spherical object humans know of. This is a result of its enormous size and gravity and its slow spin, which eliminates the bulging that comes with centrifugal force. The sun is big. More than 100 Earths could fit across its 1.4 million kilometer wide face. The sun's surface gravity is quite strong, 28 times that of Earth's. If you stood on its surface, you would weigh 28 times more than you do on Earth. The gravity essentially pulls all things towards it, making aberrant height impossible, like trying to build a mountain out of sand. The sun also spins slowly, taking roughly a month to rotate once. In late September, Microsoft announced it had reached a deal to reopen the Three Mile Island nuclear plant to power its growing network of data centers. Reviving the plant, home to a partial meltdown in 1979, is one of several extraordinary moves that tech companies are willing to make to meet the increasing energy demands of artificial intelligence, cloud computing, and other technologies. Industry analysts predict the world will reach nearly 30 billion devices by 2030, up from less than 10 billion in 2020. Data centers also require massive amounts of water for liquid cooling systems to absorb and dissipate the heat generated by servers. Researchers have found that between 5 and 50 ChatGPT requests uses about 16 ounces of water. Google used 20% more water in 2022 compared to 2021 as it ramped up AI development. Microsoft's water use rose by 34% over the same period. By 2027, the amount of water AI uses in 1 year worldwide is projected to be on par with what a small European nation consumes. Alarmingly, large numbers of data centers are located in water-stressed regions. Recently, a Google-owned data center in the Dallas, Oregon, commanded one-third of the city's water supply amid drought conditions. The larvae of the Kenyan lesser mealworm can chew through polystyrene and host bacteria in their guts that help break down the material. Polystyrene, commonly known as styrofoam, is a plastic material that's widely used in food, electronic, and industrial packaging. The lesser mealworm is the larval form of the Aphthotobius darkling beetle. They can be found in many countries around the world. The analysis of the mealworm gut revealed significant shifts in the bacterial composition depending on the diet. The guts of polystyrene-fed larvae were found to contain higher levels of proteobacteria and Firmicutes. Mealworms may not naturally have the ability to eat plastic. Instead, when they start eating plastic, the bacteria in their guts might change to help break it down. Thus, the microbes in the mealworm's stomachs can adjust to unusual diets, like plastic. And now, the sounds of extinction. The slender-billed curlew is a newly extinct species of migratory bird in the wader family, Scolopacidae. The last reliable sighting of the curlew species occurred in 1995 in Morocco, once a stronghold, with an unconfirmed sighting made in 2001. The slender-billed curlew was only known to breed in the Kazakh steppe. In recent history, it mostly migrated to the Mediterranean as well as southern Arabia, with claims in the northern reaches of the Persian Gulf, Kuwait, and Iraq. Slender-billed curlews feed by using their bills to probe soft mud for small invertebrates. The primary cause of the decline is thought to be excessive hunting on the Mediterranean wintering grounds. Habitat loss may also have played a part. The tremendous boom in commercial agriculture after the fall of the Soviet Union appears to have impacted their nesting grounds, but huge areas of forest bogs suitable for breeding still exist in Siberia. And hear the sound of the slender-billed curlew.
I want to talk about political happiness or even political pleasure, which immediately sounds like a really strange concept, right? Because very few people on Earth have actually experienced this. But I have. And actually, I should probably start by making a confession. I actually kind of like going to meetings. I mean, not you know, work meetings. Those are uniformly horrible. But, you know, some activist meetings. And some activist meetings are also horrible. But sometimes they're really great. Sometimes you go to a meeting and it just fills you with an amazing sense of life and possibility. And it makes me wonder what it would take to have a world where that's what the experience of politics could actually be like. You know, there are places where that's actually the case. I lived in Madagascar for a few years, and people there actually liked going to public meetings. So it was fun. There are certain reasons for that are hard to reproduce. There's a very ancient tradition of rhetoric that people really enjoyed. People would say, yeah, if you go to a meeting and there are people who are really good at rhetoric, you know, you see them kind of going at each other in all these subtle and indirect ways, it's really fun. We don't have that here. In some places in indigenous movements in Latin America, sometimes they have 14-hour meetings, which even I can't imagine going to a 14-hour meeting. But people stay because they actually enjoy it. Everybody gets their say.
And Reverend again, back again. Hope that you enjoyed and were edified by this zigzagging through different kinds of cultural events and signals and sermons and songs and the news from the natural world. Here we are saying goodbye. I want to thank a few people. I want to put a special thanks out to the Stony Creek, North Carolina Drum Circle. That was a part of the Seminole Tribes Fair and Powwow. Amazing, ecstatic drumming and keening that made so much of a difference to us today. And I want to thank David Graeber for his compassionate politics. if that's possible to have a meeting for 14 hours that you really enjoy, David can do it. Of course, most of the credit here goes to the Stop Shopping Choir. Salvatore D., our director. We are moving out of the Earth Church, where we've been, a converted bank in the East Village, where we've been for the last almost 3 years. Now, this last Sunday, 2 days ago, you heard us in our last final Earth service there. Lots of folks from around New York, and they gathered with their children and their dogs, and we all said goodbye for now. We're going to get together again after the first of the year. We're going to have a new location. But what a trip this has been. And so much of the material of this Earth Riot over that time has come from those gatherings. Now we're moving right now into December 1st, 8th, 15th, and 22nd into Joe's Pub at the Public Theater to wrap up our remarkable year. We've been out there with Neil Young. We've been in England performing. We've been back every Sunday that we could at the Earth Church. So this is our grand finale. Maybe you can join us if you're visiting New York. We want to thank all of the programmers for this remarkable time together. Your communities, your facilities, your volunteerism, all the stations across the country that have invited us. The Stop Shopping Choir, the creation of your songs, and the volunteerism of your beautiful, beautiful shows. Salvatore D., our director, Jason Candler, our editor. And now it's time for us to shout in unison. Are you going to do it with me?